Jesus, praise in the house this morning. Hallelujah. He is great and greatly to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, lift your voices with me just for a few moments. Let's don't get in a hurry this morning. Let's worship the Lord. I sing praises to your name, Lord. I sing glory to your name. I bring honor and praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord. Hallelujah. God, you are great. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can't praise you enough. We can't thank you enough for who you are and all that you've done for us, God. Your faithfulness, oh God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Hallelujah. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your youth like the eagles. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you are our healer. You're our physical healer. But most of all, you are our spiritual healer. And we thank you for spiritual healing. Thank you for healing us. Healing our land, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Would you join me one more time and just sing that with all that's within you here in this house and online? Come on, I sing praises to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. Praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. For your name is great. For your name is great. Isn't God good? God is so good. Praise His holy name. As our ushers come, let's continue to worship in our giving. Let's magnify Him. Let's worship Him this morning with a heart of thankfulness, cheerfulness. Praise the name of the Lord. It is a privilege, it's an honor to give to the Lord. Psalm 116 and 12 says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me?" Anybody received any benefits from the Lord? Amen. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? Just think about it. I don't know if you notice it, but that's on your tithing envelope every single week. Psalm 116 and 12. God is good to us. Let's worship Him with this gift of tithe and offering this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your blessings, Your provision. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from You, God. We acknowledge that. We thank You and praise You. We give with a heart of worship today. Be glorified in our lives. Be glorified in our midst. Jesus, be exalted. In Your holy name we pray. Amen. Worship God as You give. Thank You, Jesus.
He is Lord.
Yes, He is. Hallelujah.
He is Lord. He has risen from the dead. And He is Lord. Every knee shall bow.
Sing that again.
He's my Lord. He's my Lord.
Please turn in your Bibles with me this morning to John chapter 14. And again, while you are turning there, you're welcome to stand with me if you'd like as well for the reading of God's Word. While you're turning there, if you're just tuning in online, if you would do us a favor today and say something, let us know that you're there, that you're watching, that you've joined us. We would appreciate that. We appreciate your prayers. We're praying for you. God will move in your life. I'm expecting the Lord to do great and mighty things in our midst today. Amen. I believe that God's given me a word for us. A word for such a time as this. How many know that God can speak to us right in the middle of chaos? As a matter of fact, oftentimes that's the only time he can speak to us, because most of the time we're not listening. And we're so busy doing our own thing, things just have to kind of go awry sometimes so that he can get our attention. Slow us down, calm us down, and let us know that I'm right here, I haven't left. I'm still on the throne. I knew about the coronavirus before it ever broke out. It doesn't take God by surprise. He's in control. This has certainly been a chaotic and emotionally taxing week, to say the least. We've had to deal with one report after another regarding the coronavirus and its potential to wreak havoc in all of our lives, from national state of emergencies to state and local warnings to cancellations on every front. To say the least, these are trying times to seek to navigate through the uncharted waters. Undoubtedly, the fear and anxiety level has increased in this nation and all over the world. But as I was praying this week, I just told you about God can speak to you in the midst of chaos. I sensed the Holy Spirit taking me back to John chapter 14. And reminding me that we are not to be a people of fear. We are to be a people of faith. Say that with me. People of faith. Say it again. People of faith. John 14:1 says this. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Would you stretch your hand toward me this morning? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this word that you have given me, that you have given your church for such a time as this. I thank you for the word that you've given pastors and preachers all over this nation, all over this world today, who are standing in pulpits, who are speaking thus saith the Lord, who are delivering a word for such a time as this. Father, I thank you for your anointing to rest upon all of us. I pray for every pastor, every minister, every preacher. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I praise you, Lord, for speaking to your people. And I praise you for this National Day of Prayer that you have called us to through our president. And Father, I thank you that you are moving in this country in spite of the fear that's trying to be communicated. And I feel at times even overstressed from our media. Father, I thank you this morning that you're the God of it all. You know exactly what's going on, and nothing takes you by surprise. And we just give you praise, God, for your spirit moving right now in the midst of your people all over this nation. I pray that you would just calm people down. I pray that you would just give them a sense of peace in you, and you would direct their hearts toward you to trust in you with all of their hearts and lean not to their own understanding, but find the peace that comes that surpasses all understanding when they find themselves in your divine presence. Hallelujah. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. So we trust in you, God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray all these things today. We give you the honor and we give you the glory for moving in our midst in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Turn around and wave at somebody again and tell them that God's got something for you. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. There's a post that I read just a few days ago, and I know some of you have seen it online. It resonated with me regarding the COVID-19. It's an acrostic. And it says this: Christ over viruses and infectious diseases. Joshua 1:9. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Be not dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." I believe somebody needs to be reminded today that Christ is over the viruses and infectious diseases. And he said, I'm the Lord your God. Be not afraid, be not dismayed, for I will be with you wherever you go. Does anybody still believe that God can protect his people? Does anybody still believe that God can show up and protect his people from disease and protect them from sickness and protect them from harm and protect them from the devil and protect them from destruction and protect them from being discouraged and protect them from being down and out? Does somebody still believe that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to his power that works in us? If God could make a differentiation between his people and the Egyptians and nothing would touch them, how many of you know that God can touch us today? He can touch his people today. He can touch people all over this nation, even those who do not know him. He can have mercy upon their lives. Somebody give him praise in the house. I feel compelled by the Spirit to remind you today, we are not a people of fear. We are a people of faith. Now is the time for the church to rise up in faith and be an example for the world around us. The world is watching us. The world wants to see how we are going to respond. Are we going to get over in a corner somewhere and just say, woe is me, and we might as well throw in the towel and give up? Or are we going to be what Jesus said to do? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. He said, let your light shine. Be a witness. Be an example. Point people to Christ. The world is looking at us. The world is looking at you every day. I don't know about you. Yes, I have felt the effects. I have felt the unsettledness. Everything seems to be changing around. From one moment, you get one announcement, and then you get another one, and then you get another one. Everything seems to be changing. Schools are closed down. Businesses are closed down. And the sports world is closed down. I mean, it's one thing after the other. People's lives are affected in so many different ways. And the world is watching how you are going to respond. And what I have sensed in my spirit, in spite of everything that's been going on this week, I have just sensed a peace that surpasses all understanding. I felt the unsettledness, but I'm not in a panic. I don't know about you. God doesn't want his people to panic. And we need to settle other people down who are panicking. Now's not time to panic. Now is the time to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Now is not the time to be discouraged. Now is the time to lift up our eyes to the hills from whence comes our help. Our help comes from the Lord. The people all over this world need the church now more than ever before. That's one of the reasons that we're having service here this morning. And I know people feel differently about it. We need to use wisdom. We need to wash our hands. We need to do everything we can to not pass along disease. But can I just tell you here this morning, God wants us to be a light in the midst of the darkness. He wants us to shine brightly for Jesus Christ and know that our God is still alive. He's still moving. He's still working miracles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said in Philippians 2 and 14 through 16, do all things without complaining and murmuring. You can put that into the context of what we're facing this week. If you complain and you murmur about all the changes and the cancellations and our lives being thrown upside down and into a whirlwind, if you complain about that and you grumble about that, what kind of witness is that to the world? I've had to catch myself not to grumble a few times and complain. Because regardless of what you think about the decisions are made. We just have to deal with it. Every single decision that's made, we have to deal with it. And pray for those who are our leaders in making these difficult decisions. Because I understand as a leader, at times when you make a decision, you got a group of people that like it and you got another group of people that don't like it. But what you got to do is you got to be confident in your decision that you make and you got to move forward in it and know who you are in the Lord. And that's who I am trying to be this morning, just being confident as a leader in Jesus Christ, whether it's the right decision or the wrong decision to be here in this house this morning. All I know is I prayed about it and sought the Lord and I felt like God said, have church with those who want to show up and those who don't, welcome them online, and together let's magnify and praise the name of Jesus, and let's not be a people of fear, but let's be a people of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He said in Isaiah 41 and 10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Hallelujah. And I didn't finish that Philippians scripture, so I want to go back to it in Philippians 2. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. I'm here to tell you here this morning, I believe Jesus is still coming back again, and he's trying to get the attention of Americans and people all over the world to recognize that he is the one that they're missing in their lives. Could it be? Oh, I was going to share this later, but I feel the Spirit telling me to share it right now. Could it be that God is stripping some things away from us? He's stripping away, you know, our trust as the economy, as our source, and in our jobs, and in money, and sports is a God in this nation. Could it be that God is stripping some of those things away so that we will say, you know what, God is saying, I'm here. I was there all along. Why don't you look to me as your source? Why don't you look to me as your fulfillment? Why don't you look to me as the one who satisfies you? I'm not saying all those things are wrong, but what I am saying is that God is trying to get our attention to look to him as the source. Could it be that God is doing some purifying? How else will he get our attention? Psalm 27 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid?" Isaiah 43:1 says, "But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have called you by your name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame scorch you." The Bible says in Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and our strength. He's our very present help in the time of trouble. Say that with me, present help. He's our present help in the time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled. And that's what's going on here in America right now. The waters are roaring and they are troubled. The mountains shake with its swelling. Verse 7 says in Psalm chapter 46, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." I wish somebody would just praise the name of the Lord here this morning to know that He is with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will go with you all the way to the end. Hallelujah. We're not to be a people of fear. We're to be a people of faith. Faith. You know what the Bible says about faith, don't you? You know what it is, right? Faith is, Hebrews 11:1, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The New Living Translation says it this way: faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about the things we cannot see. Hallelujah. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. 1 John 5:4 tells us this: "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." Hallelujah. I told you earlier that this hasn't taken Jesus by surprise. He knows what's going on. How many of you know that God is not sitting up in heaven just wringing his hands saying, "What in the world am I going to do about the affairs of America and the entire world?" No. God knows what he is doing. John 16:33, Jesus said it like this to his disciples because they were filled with some anxiety and they had some unsettledness. He had all this talk about leaving them, dying on the cross. They couldn't digest that. They couldn't understand that to the fullest capacity. And Jesus is basically saying, "Listen, I have said all these things to you that in me you may find peace." I want to tell you, if you're here today and you're watching online today, you won't find peace, the ultimate kind of peace, anywhere in this world, anything in this world other than Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate peace giver. He's the ultimate peace speaker. Hallelujah. He's the only one. He's the Prince of Peace. He said, "These things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In this world," Jesus said, "you will have tribulation." These are some turbulent times we're in right now. "In this world, you will have tribulation." But notice what he said next: "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." I have overcome the world. Listen, if you are in Christ, you are an overcomer too. I really thought long and hard about this next part of what I want to share, but just hear me out. Could it be? And I've hit on it a little bit already. Because all throughout Scripture, and take this in the context of which I'm sharing it, all throughout Scripture, We see at times where plagues and diseases and pestilences were allowed to come people's way in order to get their attention, help them to see their sinfulness. Are you hearing me today? And get their attention back onto God Almighty, to repent of sin, to turn away from sin, and be forgiven and be healed in the name of Jesus. Whether or not what we're dealing with is a direct result of the judgment of God or not, I am not saying that. All I'm saying is that it's all throughout Scripture, so we at least need to entertain the idea that God is trying to get our attention all over this world. It's not just happening here in America. It's happening all over the world. God is trying to get us to turn to Him and realize that He is the source of our lives. He is the creator of our souls. He's the one that can fulfill us. He's the one that can satisfy us. There is no joy. There is no peace. There is no anything outside of Jesus Christ. Come on, give Him praise in the house. I don't know if I agree with that, preacher. I don't know if that is biblical. Well, I want you to turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Turn with me there just for a few moments and let us read the scripture together. This is just one of the many examples in scripture. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, beginning with verse number 12. And I want to leave plenty of time for prayer today, because we have been called by our president to pray. And let me just say, whether you like our president or whether you don't, I don't really care. And I'm going to say it boldly. It doesn't matter. As a born-again believer, as a God-called believer, you've been born again and washed in the blood of Jesus, you have a mandate from Scripture to pray for those who are in authority, to intercede for kings and all those who are in authority, that you may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. That is the word of the Lord. You are called to pray for your leader. If you are born again and you know who Jesus is, that is your responsibility. Stop complaining about everything. Stop throwing the president under the bus about everything and pray for him. There's some things you'll like and some things you won't like, but it doesn't really matter. You've got to pray for the president. Come on, give the Lord praise in the house. And here's what the scripture says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 12. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven, and there is no rain, or command the locust to devour the land. When I woke up this morning, the Holy Spirit directed me to the book of Joel and how the locust had devoured the land and how God had called them to repent, to reverse the judgment of God upon their lives. I began to read that book this morning and began to seek the Lord. The Bible says, when I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence, there it is, among the people, if my people, would you say it with me? Even if you're watching online, I want you to say it with me. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Is that promise still relevant for today? Absolutely. The word of the Lord, hallelujah, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Glory to God. Heaven and earth may pass away, but He said, my words shall never pass away. And he's telling us if we will humble ourselves and pray, and that's the first scripture that came into my mind and came into my spirit when the president called us to prayer. I thank God for a leader of this nation who will call us to a national day of prayer in a time like this. Instead of looking for every other way to fix this problem, I'm here to tell you there's some things you cannot fix. There's some things you cannot resolve without the help and the intervention of Almighty God, because he is the one who governs all the affairs of the world. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We are made by him. We are his creation, and you cannot be fulfilled until you're in the very presence of Almighty God and you find him as your source. Could it be one more time that God is trying to strip all these other things away, strip away other dependencies in our lives, so that we will be dependent upon Jesus and Jesus alone to give us what we need? Jesus, my friend, I'm telling you, is coming again. He's coming back in power. He's trying to get the church ready. The signs of the times are before us. He said, lift up your eyes, for your redemption draweth nigh. For the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming again. He is coming. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would remove the scales from our eyes. Remove the scales from the eyes of church people and religious people, people who sit on pews every week. Help us to realize, Lord, you've called us to be on fire. You've called us to be full of the Holy Ghost and power. You've called us to be light that's shining brightly in the midst of darkness, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. You've called us, Lord, to be salt and light. And I sense the Spirit of God saying right now, it's time for us to find a place of prayer. Everybody in this house, I want you to find a place of prayer. You can come down to this altar. I welcome you to the altar. But you can also pray where you are. I want everybody in this house, if you're physically able to get on your knees. If not, then just bow your head on the pew or whatever posture you choose. Now is the time of prayer. The day is the national day of prayer. More than anything else we do, more than singing, more than preaching, more than all of these wonderful things, you and I need to pray. And we don't just need to pray for a few minutes either. We need to get a hold of God. The Spirit of God is trying to stir us. You who are watching at home, find a place of prayer right now and join us. As people are coming, why aren't you not coming? What are you waiting on? It's time to pray. It's time to call on Jesus and to seek the face of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Have mercy upon us, God. Have mercy upon me, Lord. Have mercy upon me. Hallelujah. Come on, find a place of prayer. Everybody in this house. Everybody in this house. You're not exempt from prayer meeting. You're not exempt from calling on the Lord. You're not exempt. God is calling. He's speaking to you. He's talking to you. Oh, God. If my people who are called by my name. Hallelujah. Come on, let's humble ourselves before the Lord. We humble ourselves before you, God. We humble ourselves. We humble ourselves, God, in prayer. We ask, Lord Jesus, you would bring an end to this horrible virus, Lord. Bring it to naught in Jesus' name. Bring it to naught. We humble ourselves before you. We ask you to search our hearts, God. In the name of Jesus, we're not just asking for you to remove the physical virus. We're asking you to remove the sinful viruses in our hearts. Remove the filth from our lives. Remove it, God. We humble ourselves before you. We acknowledge it, and we ask you to remove it. Forgive us for depending on other things, looking to other things as our source. God, I repent of that. I lead this congregation in corporate repentance. We humble ourselves in prayer. We have forsaken you, the fountain of living waters, and we have hewn for ourselves cisterns which hold no water. And God, we ask you to forgive us. Have mercy on us. In your wrath, God, remember mercy. Remember mercy. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We humble ourselves, Lord. We pray. We pray for homes and families. We pray for those who don't know what they're going to do, Lord, next week because school's been canceled and they don't know what they're going to do with their kids. God, we just ask you to help them. We ask you to provide for them. In the name of the Lord Jesus, help the church to rise up and be a light in this time, God. Help us to do everything we can to serve people in need. In the name of Jesus.